Thank you. All right. All right. Welcome. Good evening, everybody. I call to order the regular meeting of the Grover Beach City Council, Monday, February 23rd, 2026. This meeting may also be viewed on cable channel 20 in Grover Beach and is available on live streaming on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by attending the meeting or calling 805-321-6639. The phone line is now open. Tonight, our flag salute will be presented by Sabella Goodman. So I'm going to have her come up here and I'll talk about her a little bit. Sabella is 10 years old and in the fourth grade at Fairgrove Elementary School. Sabella likes math, writing, and social studies in school, and she loves her friends. She enjoys living on the Central Coast because of the beaches and the air smells so good. And she absolutely loves hiking. Sabella would like to learn how to cook, open a business, or pursue music in the future. Outside of school, her hobbies include biking, hiking, reading, math, and being with her family. She also enjoys playing dress up with her sister. Sabella is accompanied by her family, Kathleen, mom, Matthew, dad, and sister Adlai. All right, now we're gonna all stand for the flag salute. Alrighty, thank you so much for that. We'll now move on to the roll call. City Clerk Sims.
Councilmember McCory Driscoll.
Here.
Councilmember Tuggle.
Here.
Councilmember Wyrick.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Here.
Mayor D.
Here. Thank you. Now on to closed session announcements. City Attorney Thompson.
There's nothing to report.
Thank you. Now for agenda review, council members, do any of you have any questions or changes that you would like to make? No? Then I'll get them, take out, I'll ask for a motion, please.
I move to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have consensus. We do not have anything on the ceremonial calendar, but we will now go on to presentations. And our presentation is the 30-year service award recipient presented by City Manager Bronson.
Thank you and good evening, Mayor and Council members. It's my honor to recognize a 30-year service award recipient with our city. Every year we have employees who reach certain milestones, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, and each of those is notable in its own right. But 30 years is a particularly notable milestone. 30 years of dedication, 30 years of service to our community. And it's with great honor I'm bringing forward our latest 30-year service award recipient. And before I bring her up, I'd like to talk about her a little bit. Our 30-year service award is going to Yesenia Noriega, accounting specialist in the Administrative Services Department. Yesenia has shown unwavering dedication to Grover Beach during her 30 years with our city and helps keep our accounting and payroll systems working effectively through her institutional knowledge and can-do spirit. She has just been with our organization and just in so many different ways and helped support our city. Words that are used to describe Yesenia are dedicated, considerate, kind, also family-oriented. We have a family-oriented organization, and Yesenia brings that with her spirit as well. So with her strong dedication to our organization and what she does, and also our community, we're delighted to recognize her for 30 years of service to Grover Beach and look forward to her continued service with us. And this is an opportunity, Yesenia, if you'd like to say a few words before
Come
the city
on
council.
Up to the podium.
Up to the lectern.
I mentioned this at our ceremony for this past January. I was given the opportunity for an account clerk position. I was 23 years old. And I thank Brian Johnson, our former finance director, for giving me the opportunity. I didn't know where I was going, but I knew that this was a good opportunity for the city. And so I've just been, you know, the time went by. I've raised two boys. I've got promoted within count clerk, county technician. My final role is the payroll specialist, accounting specialist for the city. So I'm really honored, given the opportunity that the city, gave me the opportunity to invest in myself, my retirement, and I'm looking forward to that day. But I'm a little too young still, but I'll get there. But thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before you walk away, Yesenia, we would like to say some words first. I'll start with my right.
So thank you so much for your service. On top of the skill set that you bring, every room you walk into, every group you work with benefits from your positive energy and your inclusive spirit. So we're really lucky to have you, and thanks for being a part of the team.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much. Told Matt today, I said, she's retiring? 30 years? No, she's not ready to retire yet. 30 years is a long time. But thank you for all you've done for the city and all you continue to do. And yeah, you're right, you're always fun to be around. Thank you.
Trying to do some quick math up here. I hope we celebrate your 40th, because you still won't be old enough to retire. And thank you again for all you do for the city.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you for your commitment. Obviously, you know, people, you know, take jobs, move jobs too, but for be here for 30 years too, it's because you wanted to stay here. Mm-hmm. And obviously you enjoy the work you're doing too, and the service it comes to, not just, you know, your fellow employees too, but ultimately to for all the residents and constituents that we have too. So thank you for 30 years of serving everyone.
Thank you. Yeah, and thank you. I just like to echo my colleagues up here. Thank you so much for everything you do. You light up a room, every single room you go into, and you're just so personable and so welcoming. And that's something that we need here in the city of Grover Beach. And I think that we all do a really good job about that. But you do a phenomenal job at it. And the word family oriented really stuck out to me, because I see that with you all the time. So thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome. Yes. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Do you want to take a picture? Picture? Did you want to take a picture?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yes. Let's do it.
Sorry.
We did have Larry, so we have to.
I'm already.
Okay, now we will move on to public communications. Our meetings are designed to proceed in an organized and efficient manner to effectively conduct city business. The council welcomes and values public comments, which can be shared at the designated time from the podium using the microphone. The council requests that all comments be addressed to the council as a whole, and that speakers refrain from directing individual comments at staff members. To maintain an orderly process, we kindly ask all attendees refrain from creating disruptions during the meeting, interrupting speakers who are addressing the council, or impeding on the council's ability to conduct business. Should disruptions occur, the council may need to take certain measures, such as calling a recess, clearing the chambers, or in rare circumstances, canceling the meeting. We greatly appreciate your understanding and cooperation in maintaining a productive environment that serves our entire community effectively. During this time, the council will allow public communication. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on or discuss items not on the agenda. I only have one speaker slip, Lauren Westfall.
I don't know why I was thinking there was going to be more presentations. Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council Member. Lauren Westfall, North Grover Beach. Just wanted to advise people that Grover Beach Bunny Blast 2.0, which is a community-sponsored funded event. We are providing complimentary Easter bags to children in our community. And additionally, the families can capture memorable pictures with the Easter Bunny, which will either be me or somebody else that kind of put their name in the hat. This event's going to be held Saturday, March 28th at the Grover Beach Grange, thanks to compliments of members that voted that we can have it there. Gift bags are limited in quantity. Last year, we distributed over 150 Easter baskets and 20 gift bags. This year, our aim is to provide about 300 local children with gift bags full of goodies. Baskets were too hard for me to store. And just to make it clear, this event is for the children, as somebody on next door is already making complaints that this is a political propaganda event. It is not. It is for the children. We give out complimentary gift bags full of goodies and allow the children to get pictures with the Easter Bunny. I will put flyers out there. If anybody would like to volunteer to fill baskets, we're going to be doing it March 26th and 27th at the Grange, starting at 4:30. And don't know what time we're going to end, but I just know we're starting it at 4:30. I plan on having the assembly line ready, so that way people can talk, meet, greet, and fill the bags up for us. Thank you.
Really quick, Ms. Westfall, what time was the Bunny Blast at?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Bunny Blast is held from 11 to 1.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. I do not have any other speaker slips. Does anybody else wish to come up and speak under general public comment? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? Well, then we will close general public comment, and we will now move on to the consent agenda. The following routine items listed on the consent portion of the agenda are scheduled for consideration as a group. We have the treasurer's report for the period of January 1st through January 31st, 2026, the treasurer's reports for the 2025 sewer bond account, minutes of the city council meeting on Tuesday, February 10th, 2026, the California Department of Housing and Community Development 2025, and the fiscal year 24 to 25 annual comprehensive financial report. So I will now open for public comments on the consent agenda, and I have one speaker slip, Lauren Westfall. Sorry.
That's okay, it's gonna be like this all night.
You need to pick a seat closer up.
I know, I should. I need the exercise. Okay, again, thank you. Now for the other side of me. If the council actually reviewed the report, did you inquire with staff regarding the reason for voiding $8.7 million in checks? Did you trace these voided checks to their intended recipients? I urge the council to explain why staff voided the check to Pappy Construction, which was initially issued December 18th, voided January 12th, and subsequently reissued in the same amount January 15th. This incident has occurred in the past with other companies. Additionally, there are several checks missing, approximately 15 in this treasury report alone. On average, throughout the year, there's like 18 checks missing per treasury report. This brings me to the 2024 comprehensive audit report, which was delayed providing and was not provided to the new oversight committee that convened in January. I admit that I only skimmed through the report last night, but my question is whether staff listened and followed the council's previous request to simplify its readability. It appears largely unchanged to me. K-14, it provided $48 million over 25 years. Since staff claimed that the projects will be completed by 2032, well ahead of the bond expiration of 2040, is the city planning on continuing taxing our property tax? Approximately $13 million in K-14 funding remains in five projects and are planned with the inflation cost and construction costs. Staff anticipate future gapping. Tonight, I ask you guys to pull agenda 2 and 6 and discuss and answer the questions. Why Pappy's check was voided and reissued? Why were there missing checks in every treasury report? Did staff follow instructions to make the audit report simplified and readable? How much was initially spent to repair the streets that are now going to be torn up for the sewer? And how much is anticipated to be spent to repair these streets again? This is our money that you are spending, and the public has the right to know. You claim transparency. Please be transparent and tell us the answers to these questions. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Does anybody else wish to come up and speak on the consent agenda? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? Okay, well then we will close public comment for the consent agenda. Council members, did we have any questions, comments, want to pull any items? If not, I can accept a motion.
I feel like those questions aren't off-the-cuff questions for staff, so I would love to be able to follow back in a more structured environment, but mm-hmm. I don't have a need to pull anything.
Okay, I would agree with you on that, and I think that we can maybe follow up with some answers to those questions as well at another time. So if I can have a motion then?
I'll move to approve.
May I have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Tuggle?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember McCory Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Wyrick?
Yes.
Mayor D.
Yes. All right, thank you. Now we'll move on to our public hearing. Item 7 is the second reading and adoption of an ordinance amending Chapter 50 of Title 5 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code. And I'm going to call on Public Works Director Ray and Public Works Supervisor Haas. Welcome.
Good evening.
A new face.
Oh, no. Well, good evening. Thank you, honorable mayors and members of the city council. I'm Billy Haas, Public Works Superintendent, and I'm here to discuss a cross-connection control ordinance. A cross-connection control is a physical connection between a water supply and any non-potable water source. The State Water Board made changes to the cross-connection control policy that all public water systems had to adopt. These changes are listed in the cross-connection control handbook. The primary objective of the handbook is public health and ensuring drinking water supplies are protected and safe. This ordinance adds specific language to our municipal code addressing cross-connection control and inspection requirements. Adopting will implement state requirements and formalize the city's authority to administer and enforce a cross-connection control program. This ordinance will enhance long-term safety and protection of the city's drinking water supply, while also providing clarity in inspection, testing, and enforcement. Do you have any questions about cross-connection control?
Wow, great job. That was wonderful. Great job for that presentation. I will start to my right.
I do have a question because I don't know anything about this. With the cross-connection control, is that just city pipes or is that you inspecting like residential as well?
Well, it's to ensure that we're connected to several businesses, industries, and that type of thing, but we also have cross-connection control, or what they call backflow devices on irrigation systems and such, so we don't pull dirty water in.
Gotcha.
In any type of way. So we would inspect up to that point and make sure if there's one in the business, that we might have to inspect some of those. But okay. At this point, most of them are right at our service, right past our service line.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Yes.
No questions? Questions to my left?
Have we been doing this inspections before?
We inspect annually. It hasn't changed all that much. They're just tightening up on, they're more concerned about industries and okay. That type of thing, and documenting a lot more of this. So we contract with the county to do annual inspections on all of our backflow devices and cross connections. Okay. And we'll continue to do that. We're just going to gather a little more information.
Okay. And do we see any significant increase in the cost of providing these services?
No. We're fortunate that we're not a real big industrial city and we only have a few inspections. There'll be just a little bit more paperwork that's all submitted digitally. And we already track most of the stuff, so I think it'll be insignificant.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all I have.
Just one question. Does the proposed ordinance language make any changes beyond meeting state and federal requirements that would be considered local discretion, basically?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Sure. I'll speak closer.
Yeah, just a little bit slower.
Okay. Slow it down half. Does the proposed ordinance language make any changes that would be considered local discretion beyond just meeting state and federal requirements?
No. It's all just fits the state requirements. They basically gave us a boilerplate that we had to work through and plug numbers in that all city small water systems are going to be using.
Thank you.
Okay. And I do not have any questions, so I will now open the public hearing. I do not have any speaker slips for this item. If anybody wishes to come up and speak on this item, please come forward. Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? Okay. Well, then I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the council for any questions, deliberation. If there's nothing, no comments or anything, then we can just make the motion. Robert, somebody else make the motion. Robert, go.
I'll make a motion that we accept it.
We have a motion. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call, please?
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes.
Councilmember McCrory Driscoll.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuggle?
Yes.
Councilmember Weirich?
Yes.
Mayor D.
Yes. All right. That passes. Great job. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes. All right. Now we will move on to regular business. We will go on to item number 8, the annual reports for Citizens Oversight Committee on Transactions and Use Tax Measures and Revenue Measure K-14. And I will call on, there we go, nice. Well, I'll call on Administrative Services Director Zalmet to give the presentation.
Good evening, Council Members, Mayor D. I'll be going over the Citizens Oversight Committee reports today. Background, on September 8, 2025, the Council created two citizen oversight committees, the transaction and use tax measures, and then revenue measure K-14. On December 5th, 2025, Council appointed committee members, and thereafter staff scheduled meetings on January 13th, 2026, here in Council chambers for both committees. Transaction and use tax measures. Committee members were Jerry Ferguson, Jeff Lee, Scott Steele, Gabrielle Weeks, and Lawrence Westfall. Committee unanimously approved the submission of the report to City Council. The report is included as Attachment 1. Committee agreed that funds were being used in accordance with the intent of Measure X06 and F20. Discussion about the possibility of segmenting revenues into a fund specifically for tracking expenditures did occur. And lastly, the City has had a longstanding practice of depositing transaction and use tax revenues into the general fund as taxes are for general uses like other voter approved tax measures, cannabis or business tax certificates being examples. Measure K-14, committee members were Karen Bright, Michael Teeling, and Dennis Nolan. Committee members unanimously approved the submission of the report to the City Council, and the report is included as Attachment 2. Council's requested action tonight is to receive and file the FY24-25 annual reports for the Citizens Oversight Committee, both for transaction and use tax measures, as well as Measure K-14. as well as consider the committee feedback regarding the structure of transaction and use tax reporting and provide additional direction to staff, or provide alternative direction to staff. So I'm available for questions and comments.
Okay, thank you so much for the presentation. I will start for questions to my left.
With the request from the commission about putting funds aside, do we do that with any other tax measures? I know this one, when it started, it always went to general fund. That's my understanding.
Correct.
Are there any other examples where we've made this kind of move in our past?
The only one would be the Measure K-14. And though that is specifically because they are bond revenues. And it facilitates the processing of bond transactions much easier. And there are specific legal requirements so that you don't commingle bond revenues with general funds. That being said, no other examples. As being a sales tax measure, it is general revenue. So that is why it has always been deposited into the general fund.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I would just add that Measure K-14 is a special revenue measure, whereas the F-20 and X-06 are both general revenue measures.
And it required a higher threshold.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
No questions? Questions to my right? Yes. No? Okay. No questions. So I will now open for a public comment on this item. I have some speaker slips. I will start with Mike Teeling and then Jerry Ferguson.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. Thank you. As you guys know, and you just heard, I'm a member of the K-14 Citizens Advisory Council committee. So the report that we looked at and approved rightly said that there were $38 million in bonds, K-14 bonds issued to date, with bonds remaining of $10 million, the fund balance of $3.2 million, meaning that there's $13.2 million available for under this measure. There is a plan that was in the report to issue an additional $5 million in bonds as needed by possibly this fall, which will bring that up to $8.2 million by the next time we meet in January. There was a notation in there of a fund shortage forecast to be between 3 and 4 million. And the reasons given in that report were things such as increase in construction costs and so forth. However, during our committee meeting, I had specifically requested that to understand the impact of the sewer improvement projects, because I know they're gonna have to go into the streets to do that. 70% of our streets have been improved under this bond measure. I'd like to know what percentage of that, and I'd ask that, and it may be an oversight on staff's part in providing that information, but of the 3.4 million, does that include, and this is of course at the end of the bond issue period, 2032 I think it is, so, but how much of that 70% of those streets are gonna be torn up and have to be repaved or something? Is that included in that $4 million number? And then there was some also information about, you know, for maintenance of the streets from that point forward, something to do with $2 million would be a great number, but right now we're only about $230,000 per year per annum that's dedicated. So anyway, just wanted to bring that to your guys' attention as a member of the committee. So I'd like to know, understand where the sewer, how that's going to impact the work already done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Jerry Ferguson, followed by Lauren Westfall.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and City Council members. Jerry Ferguson here, actually on the Oversight Committee, and again, she's coming up after me. She may say the same things I'm going to say. So I think the question we were saying about the funds and putting the general fund or putting a separate fund, that wasn't the question that we were asking. We were asking for more detail on where the money physically went. I mean, we were asked as a committee to review that the taxes were going for said items. We were given 6 or 7 slides that showed bulk numbers for different things, but it didn't break down where they physically went. So any reports I ever reviewed in my lifetime for business or anything else, there was detail of where it was spent, who the checks went to, where it went, what was the dollar spent for, not just a lump sum on a slide that said XYZ dollars were spent. So as a committee, we voted to go forward, again, just getting our feet wet, first time on the committee, what we're supposed to be doing. But again, if that's what we're gonna see every year, it's a waste of my time. because there's nothing really to review, okay, except for six slides to say XYZ numbers, okay? So that's what we were asking for. We were asking to separate funds. We were just saying give us more detail of where the funds physically went. And it only makes sense if that's what we're supposed to be doing based upon what the law says. I guess that's what I read. We should be reporting what we physically seen the months the funds were spent on. You know, I mean, other than just a slide saying a bulk number. So that's why I wanted to make sure that you understand what we're asking for. It wasn't saying separate the money. There's a spreadsheet out there somewhere that shows what they spent to come up with those tollers they gave us. That's what we're looking for if we're going to look at it this next year. Thank you
for your comments. Lauren Westfall.
Good evening again. The City Oversight Committee, a committee composed of ordinary citizens who are tasked with the responsibility of overseeing the city's expenditure of tax dollars. I was honored to be appointed on this tax measure committee, which I joined hoping to gain a comprehensive understanding of the city's operation. I believe city task staff in creating an instructional book for the committee to utilize. However, one was not provided to us. We were not invited to a workshop to explain or guide us on how to examine the forms that we were supposed to be examining. All we received was last year's comprehensive audit and 2025-27 financial report. These documents were emailed to us without any request of confirmation of receipt. Without my past attendance of city council meeting, I would have been completely aware of the unnecessary information to look for. All tax money is pulled into a single fund, making it a challenge for a citizen oversight committee that is composed of five ordinary citizens and two past mayors to assess if tax dollars were spent correctly and appropriately as allocated. Staff did not discuss the GPA fire authority or specific figures regarding the city's responsibility for police department. Despite my personal support for them, they did not disclose the details of salaries and overtime, the equipment that was purchased from general fund versus the grant money. This was similar to the explanation of the sidewalks. Council instructed staff to record these committees, which they did. However, the recording was only aired the day of the committee meeting. I have yet to find a link to view this. If there is a link, please send it to me. I kindly request that staff provides some training and instructions before the next committee meets. Council members receive training. Parks and Recs get to attend conference. Jury duty members even receive instructions. We were provided with no guidance whatsoever. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anybody else wish to come up and speak on this item? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? Nope, then we will close public comments on this item, and I'll bring it back to answer some questions. Let's see. I believe, can you remind me of what is the vetting process for this? I thought that there were emails and like a vetting process for this committee.
Correct. Staff did send an introductory email to all the committee members with information on what to expect at the meeting and where they could get materials. And we also directly sent materials to each of the committee members ahead of the meeting and also published them on our website.
Okay. And then is there a link for the video for this oversight committee?
We do have a link. I believe, though, it is not on that Citizens Oversight page, but we can certainly add that.
Okay, thank you. And then as far as, the request of earmarking money, I'm going to say earmark because that's the best term that I have for that, earmarking funds as they come in, is that something that I feel like that's a lot. Is that something that we do? Is that something that is feasible? Is it a future discussion that we need to have?
I can take that one. So we do not segregate our general fund revenues, our general revenues. We don't segregate property tax, for example, versus sales tax, because it is all general use funding. And so we do not, as a practice, do that. We would have to wait a year to begin that if that were your council's decision, because we've already received sales tax revenues in this current year and have not segregated them by measure or percentage. So it's not our practice. It's generally not a practice in local government because they are general fund tax revenues.
Okay. And is there...
And just to add to that, I think part of the challenge is when Measure X06 was approved in 2006, it was a general tax measure. There were examples of what the funds could be used for, but the measure that was approved by voters said, and other general city services, which is similar language that Measure F20 had as well when that was approved by voters. And so while there are examples of what could be used for, and ultimately the council has the discretion in every year as part of the budget process, they're general measures that are approved by a majority vote of the community. And so to really hit the special measure threshold, that's a two-thirds vote, and the funds can only be used for specific purposes. So the challenge is that there is not a way to determine that $1 generated through these two general measures funds $1 of specific expenditure. Mm-hmm. We don't have that because they're commingled with the rest of the general fund revenues, property tax, cannabis tax, TOT. So that's the challenge, and I can understand the committee's frustration and question about that, but they're all general revenues. And in the case of Measure X06, it's been commingled with the general fund for 20 years. And so to unwind that is a possibility that could be done, but that is about 20% of our general fund revenues that we'd have to then unwind, identify specificity for where those funds go, figure out where the backfill of those funds are. And if that was something the council was interested in, that's probably more for the next two-year budget cycle to consider versus right now where we're trying to put a budget together to bring to your council in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm. And when our auditor goes through their process, our outside auditor goes through their process, they go through all of these funds and confirms that they are spent on general city services.
Correct.
Thank you. Switching gears to the other one, there was a question about what percent of the remaining streets are going to be impacted by sewer work. And that question.
So there will be a very small percentage. I don't know the exact percentage, probably less than 1% of remaining streets. We have planned the sewer projects intentionally to not conflict with our already improved streets. However, there'll be a section here or there where we would have to make an additional improvement. The current sewer project is not impacting improved streets, and those streets will be improved after that completion of that project.
Okay. And to follow up, that $3 to $4 million, does that include any that would be our sewer fund.
The gap in funding?
Yes.
It is not impacted by this. The funding gap is what we anticipate for planned projects through the Measure K-14 improvement.
Okay, thank you. All right, any questions? Yes.
Okay, let's go back to the general tax funds. It was mentioned that we could, as a council, we could pull it out and then direct it. But legally, I'm wondering, can we, if it says other general city services, so that's a question for you, Ms. Thompson, would you even be able to say that F20 money has to go to this?
So when you do adopt a special ballot measure, revenue ballot measure that is for specified funds, it does require a two-thirds vote of the voters, whereas the general tax measure requires just 50%. And so I think that distinction where this was a general tax revenue measure, it was approved by 50% of the voters, not two-thirds, would tend to imply that you couldn't necessarily designate that money to one place. However, within the budget cycle, I think that's what Assistant City Manager Erickson was referring to. You could, through your power of budgeting, delegate that money within the budget cycle.
But not like not going forward for other councils to be beholden to.
I mean, I would research that further, but my initial instinct is that would not be a good idea.
So I understand why you have an oversight committee for something like Measure K when it is specific. Is it common to have oversight committees on general fund taxes? Because I understand what the frustration, what are they looking at? I mean, they're looking at the entire general budget, the whole budget.
It's just based on the language in the ballot measure itself. And in this case, there was a decision made to include language calling for a citizen oversight committee. I think the concept is that people will feel better about it if there is some level of oversight. But it really just varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and whether they include that language
or not.
So
it's not required. Is it required for something like Measure K?
Is an oversight committee required?
Yeah.
No, not if you don't put it in the ballot measure.
They're both optional?
Okay. Yes.
Interesting. Because if it goes into the general fund, which the verbiage is quite clear that it's this, and other general city services, then you'd be looking at the entire budget coming out of the general fund as the oversight, I guess?
Well, it would be about $4 million of the general fund, just based on the amount of sales tax attributable to those measures.
Yeah. And just to add to that, the questions are very valid, and this has been a challenge of this particular oversight committee from its inception because of the general tax nature of this measure. In prior reports, we just simply had a chart that showed sales tax money. That was it. That was the report. This year's report, we attempted to do something a little bit beyond that. We attempted to show examples of some of the investments the city has made, in large part because of these additional revenues, public safety being a key component. We've increased our police department, fire department funding significantly, in part because of the additional revenues from Measure F20. We were able to do some additional capital improvements from the general fund. So those are examples, but again, it's not a one-to-one connection. We can't make the case that a dollar generated in this tax is going to a dollar for a police officer. It goes to the general fund, and then the council ultimately sets priorities, sets objectives of what you want to see in the budget, and then we come back and propose different items to help meet those needs, and the council ultimately adopts a budget to reflect that.
Questions or comments?
So in this particular, these two particular oversight committees, what you're saying, they're not required by law to have these oversight committees?
So we are required because it was included in our ballot
language.
Had the city not put that language in, no, it would not be required.
Okay. All right, so we have the oversight committee, and they are frustrated because they don't see the exact dollars for each thing it's going to, which is not a requirement or normal practice of the city to do that.
Correct.
So, okay, just want to make sure I understand it. Thank you.
Questions or comments to my left?
Is there anything that the use taxes cannot be used for?
No, I mean, it just needs to be for city purpose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, if they had more of the full scope of the budget, would that help in the conversation?
So the budget was made available to the committee, and it is available on our website at the level of detail that we provide in our budget book.
Okay. Perhaps lack of training ahead of time, they didn't know maybe how to best utilize that?
It's kind of out of sync. Our budget is on a fiscal year, and these reports and our ACFR are on a calendar year, and so were reported on at the calendar year, and so we're mid-budget, but talking about last year's reports.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Questions or comments?
Sure. Just a couple notes. for Mr. Tilling's part two, as far as the sewer part, I believe you might want to check out the footage at our last meeting on the street updates, because I think CIP manager Aaron Wiggum said it was only Project 20 that had the sewer part left. So I think that's what it is, but yeah, and she would probably have that information. As far as just clarifying questions from this whole part too, so basically, a lot of these oversight committees came out of Proposition 39, which was for public educational institutions. So oversight committees for things like this are optional. They don't have frameworks like Proposition 39 said. They're just kind of models that most of the time somewhat they're used. Is that correct?
Correct, and governed by whatever the language inserted in the ballot languages.
Okay, and for oversight committees, because cities don't have, they're not prescriptive like Proposition 39,
no.
That it's basically up to the city councils to determine what they do, don't do, how they want to do it, because it's not prescribed. Is that
correct?
More or less?
Yep.
Okay.
Can I clarify something? So we've closed our general our public comment on this item. We could probably follow up afterwards with the question.
Yeah. Sorry I referenced that to you because I understand how that gets a response. And so basically how we do these oversight committees is up to more or less whoever's on the council at the time to determining how they want to do these processes. But overall, they've just had kind of traditional processes based off of the past and how other cities do them.
Yes.
Is that kind of right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess the only other part too is that when it says, because to Councilmember Corey Driscoll's part too, when it says, and other general city services, basically anything in the budget is general city services.
That's,
yeah. So there, correct. So anything we expend money on to falls within just that language alone.
Yes.
And everything else is just goals, but since there's no percentages, that's why I didn't get the two-thirds requirement, and that's how we're at work.
Correct. Those are just examples of the types of services the funds may be spent on, but it's at the council's discretion, like all other general revenue.
Okay, yeah. Now, if the council wants to do it differently, I'd be interested in hearing that, but those are my questions.
Okay. So as far as my comments go, I feel confident and comfortable with the oversight committees. I feel confident and comfortable with the ACFER, the report, and what was recommended. I understand the frustration about not being able to see what exactly goes to what, but I think that our checks and balances between the departments to the executive directors to the auditors to the reports, I feel very comfortable in those checks and balances that I don't think that there needs to be a change, but I'm just one voice on this council. And so if we would like to have this discussion in the future, I believe when we would be doing that is within our next budget cycle. But that would be a better time to do it. Am I understanding that correctly?
We could certainly revisit it and discuss the possibility at that time. Yes.
Okay. The general city services is what I really focus on because that's what we are providing for our community with these sales tax measures. So when it comes to kind of choosing what they go to, I don't want us to pigeonhole us in a position where a future council is having to change what we're putting the money towards. So, that's kind of where I'm at with this conversation, and I'd be happy to make the motion to approve it
happy to revisit this in the future again. Looking at it, I don't see how you could specify any spending when it's explicitly all general city services. However, the training component, I don't want to lose sight of that.
Oh, yes.
If people have been asked to serve and they don't feel like they have the information that they need to do that successfully, then I want to hear that and respond to that and address that in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, so I'm seeing and hearing some nods. I think that, because I know that staff, did reach out and maybe there's something where we don't have the oversight committee meeting until, everybody is properly trained on the item. So maybe that's some direction that we can give to staff.
Good question. What actual direction are we giving to staff? Because since they only meet once a year and we have, we're at the end of February. I mean, so it's what's the point where they actually get this training? And because if it's close to January, obviously it's, I wasn't sure what direction we're actually doing.
We could offer a training or a meeting with oversight committee members. Of course, we can't have them all together at once, but we could set time aside in December ahead of the oversight committee meeting.
That was going to be my suggestion. It's just at least in groups of two, I think is the max, mm-hmm. right? The number's still two. Then they could get questions answered ahead of time and feel more empowered to be effective in what we've asked them to do.
Okay. Good. Okay. So this is a receive and file.
And just question from the rest of the council too, as far as the idea of even revisiting it, is that actual council direction if we're going to the next year cycle, which is 2027 through 2029, and it's probably good to know that we're actually going to do that. If we're not, that we're not. So mm-hmm. I'm just curious with the rest of you all, if you actually want to do that or not, have that discussion later.
Okay. Does any of the other council members let me grammatically say that a little bit better. do the other council members feel that we need to come back and discuss having a program or direction to staff to make it so that we can see dollar for dollar tax to... I'm having a hard time finding my words because I'm comfortable with how this process has been. So.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. It's maybe the options of what it would take to get what the committees are looking for. I think we all understand what they're looking for, a dollar for dollar. Mm-hmm. But what will that take, actually take, and how much staff time and separation software or whatever necessity? So, yeah, I think...
So I guess the only question I really had would, I wouldn't even want to pursue it unless we ensured legally that was even an option, because the way that I read it, it would be a non-starter that you couldn't specify, because we did not get a supermajority. We got a general majority, and that means it's general fund money.
I would just add that you wouldn't be precluded from tracking it separately. It's just more designating it to be spent in a particular way.
True, just tracking it doesn't really have much of an effect aside from segmenting it, because it's $4 million of roughly $20 million of general revenue. So tracking it is, we're tracking the general fund budget. So again, staff will follow your council's lead on whether you want us to take a look at this or not for the next 2-year budget cycle.
It sounds like I'm not hearing any interest, though. I don't see nods. I don't see nothing. No? Okay. Okay. So then we would not like you to come back with options for moving that recommendation forward. Okay. So this is a receive and file. And thank you so much for the presentation. Appreciate it. Okay. So now we will move on to our item number 9. Does anybody need a break first? Nope. Let's roll. Okay. Item 9, the fiscal year 25 to 26 mid-year council goals implementation report and fiscal year 25 to 27 council goals review. I will call on Assistant City Manager Erickson.
Thank you, Mayor D, and good evening, council members. As your council is aware, we began establishing council goals in March of 2017, and each year we review those goals. And on March 10th of last year, your council adopted the fiscal year 2025-27 council goals. We're currently in the middle of implementing those goals. Today, we're here to review our mid-year status for fiscal year 2025-26, and then also to have your council review those goals and see if you want to make any changes to them. And then early next year, your council will set new goals for fiscal year 2027-29 ahead of establishing the 2-year budget for that cycle. Ooh, the color looks different on my screen. I apologize. But your council did set some broad multi-year goals that are intended to be kind of stable goals for the organization and just really how we do business as a city, including public safety and community services, economic development and housing, community infrastructure, and financial and organizational stability. And staff has been implementing these broader goals as part of our work programs for this year. The city manager's office has continued our strong community events, thanks to our community services division, with our very successful summer concert series, the block party that was held in the fall, our holiday activities, among other events. Our Five Cities Fire Authority has reached 100% compliance in their weed abatement program, which is great news. And they are improving their response time for fire and EMS towards the goal of 6 minutes or less, which they are still aiming to achieve. Our police department has implemented several technology items, and then also has increased traffic enforcement with a full-time and part-time motorcycle officer on duty. In the area of economic development and housing, community development has begun the RFP process for our next housing element for consultant services related to that. And the city manager's office has continued to provide support for the Cleaver and Clark Commons affordable housing project, as well as Five City Homes Coalition's operation of the temporary housing facilities in the city. The city manager's office has also continued to implement our Visit Grover Beach tourism marketing platform, which has seen increases across all of the social media platforms and the website. In community infrastructure, Public Works has updated both the streets master plan and the sewer master plan. Community development has continued their progress with the circulation element, and your council will receive an update on that in March. And the city manager's office has researched potential locations and properties for a new or renovated police department and city corporation yard. We do note that we don't have funding identified for any property purchase at this time. And under the banner of financial and organizational stability, our administrative services department has issued an RFP for a consultant to update the city's cost allocation plan or how we charge out our services. Administrative services, in conjunction with Public Works, has also worked to implement our contract with Enterprise Fleet Services, improving our vehicle maintenance and purchasing. And the city manager's office has implemented a new Public Records Act request system, which is live and up on our website, to increase transparency and ease of use for Public Records Act requests. Your council also identified two specific priorities for fiscal years 2025-27 to get increased emphasis and resources. The first is water and sewer infrastructure and needed resources, and the second is community engagement, rebuilding community trust and civility in public discourse. On the water and sewer infrastructure, we are at 100% either in progress or completed. Administrative services implemented an updated sewer rate structure that was passed by your council last year. And with that rate structure, we were able to secure bond financing, which is allowing us to complete the sewer project that's in progress right now, again, after a little break for the rain. And Public Works has been working on that project and also has executed a contract for a long-term water supply study, which has just begun. In community engagement, we are at 83% in progress or completed. The city manager's office has continued working with your council on the Coffee with Council events and has also held multiple public forums related to the sewer rate implementation. We've also installed community information bulletin boards at all of our city parks. And as you heard in January, we conducted our 2025 community survey. Community development also defined key projects and templates that we will be sending out community informational mailers for all of our larger development projects coming on board. Speaking of the 2025 community survey, as was already presented to your council, but we'll give a little recap here, 87% of our residents responded that they were proud to be a resident of Grover Beach. 74% overall were satisfied with city services. And the top issues identified by respondents were traffic and roads, growth and development, and housing affordability. Looking at our goals and the satisfaction with our progress on those goals, public safety did very well with 90% of respondents saying that they were good or fair. In the area of economic development and housing, we saw 68% with a good or fair rating. For community infrastructure, 78% with a good or fair rating. And for financial and organizational sustainability, 62% with a good or fair rating, which we're told by our consultant is quite high given the national mood and the economic headwinds that we all face as local governments. And then looking to the priorities in water and sewer infrastructure, 76% of respondents gave it a good or fair rating, and in community trust and engagement, 73% gave us a good or fair rating. So very strong numbers with our community survey and also some issues identified by our respondents. And so this evening, we would like your council to make a quick review of these goals that we just discussed, reminding that the broad goals are intended to be multi-year and somewhat stable across budget years. We are in the middle of a two-year budget, so large changes to priorities would have a massive impact potentially on a budget, and we are in the middle of that, so that would be a little bit difficult. But we do want your council to consider whether there are any changes you would like to make to the current goals and priorities, and whether there are any key items or work programs that you would like staff to focus on in fiscal year 26-27 as we implement your goals and priorities. And with that, I'm available for any questions you may have.
Okay, I will start with questions to my right. Questions?
No questions for staff, just the council.
Okay. Okay, so I will open. You don't have to scooch so far away. Okay. All right, so I will now open for public comment on this item. I have one speaker slip, Lauren Westfall.
Good evening again. It's interesting because if I actually didn't read the staff report and I just went off of that, it's completely different. Now, your staff report says that, and this one actually says that we are proud, 60 or 87% are proud to be Grover Beach. How is surveying 500 people out of 12,000 considered the majority of the residents? I love your guys' math. In the attachment one, the city manager boosts about the block parties and the events. It should have prioritized addressing the fire and police matter since that was the safety concerns. Regarding economic development, it is unclear how an individual, Mr. Beast or whatever it was I had to look up, he's only popular for algorithms and understanding tourism. How much money did we spend for him to promote the tourism when he came flying over his drone that was never even advertised? While I understand the partnership with South County Chambers to promote tourism and business, I don't understand how a Grover Beach Community Foundation, a nonprofit, promotes business. Can you guys please explain this to me? As I've emailed him a month ago, and he has yet to respond to my email. Also, none of these reports, even the audit report, doesn't even address if you guys received the $174,000 that the foundation claimed he was raised for Ramona Park. Conducting a cost allocation study should state the city manager plans on allocating more tax dollars to another consulting firm to instruct staff how to improve costs and charges across all funds. I believe the majority of the residents have already advised you to reduce employees' credit card charges, have work performed in-house, and cease hiring consultants. That, or cease hiring staff and just use consultants. Every manager seems to have an assistant, plus two to five consulting. I guess this is using the magic math. Remember, less than 500 people is considered the majority. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I do not have any other speaker slips. Does anybody else wish to come up and speak on this item? Seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? I will close public comment on this item. And I want to answer just a couple of questions. So we did have a YouTuber individual, Mr. Beast. He came to, technically he landed in our city. He didn't really come to our city, but I just want to confirm that we did not spend any money.
We did not.
And he did not spend any money
We did not exchange money with Mr. Beast.
Okay. And I don't even think he said the name of any of our cities in the video either.
No.
Actually, I can confirm that because I watched the video. And so in addition to that, okay, so that's Mr. Beast. And then money from the brick sales, the paver sales, mm-hmm. We won't be seeing those funds. It wouldn't be in our audit that we just received.
No, because that was for the prior year. We received those revenues in the current year.
Correct. Okay. And, okay. Those were a couple of the questions that I had. Okay. So now bring it back to the council for questions and discussions. I just want to, really quick, we have all of our directors in the room, and I just want to, with all of my heart, thank every single one of you and your teams for all of the things that you do. We have had some major accomplishments in this city, and I'm just so proud to have you all, and I'm honored. I mean, when we look at it, our streets we're ahead of schedule. Over 70% have been done, and I know that we just had a presentation on it at our last meeting. I don't think we highlighted that accomplishment enough. That is huge, so thank you so much. We win awards on our financial audits, and we continue. I've had residents come up to me saying that they've had financial issues with bills, and our admin office is always there to help, which is amazing. Our police department continues to just make waves and connect with our community. I mean, there's other police departments coming to us to see what we're doing. So that is just phenomenal. Community events, I can't say enough about those. Like, everybody sings about them. It's just amazing. And then community development, thank you, Megan, for everything that you do. You are always keeping us compliant and on on the path with state and federal things, and then you're continuing to bring services to our community and help our residents. So I just want to thank all of our directors that are in the room. Really quick, I'm going to get off my little soapbox here and just say thank you so much. I'm honored to have you on our team. So now with that being said, back to the goals. it's very rare when we have everybody in the room, so I just wanted to take that opportunity. I had a hint, unfortunately, that they were going to be here. So there's, as far as our goals go, I agree with not changing things too much, but maybe adding one. The only thing that I would want to discuss is if we wanted to add a third priority for streets, since we had such a such a response on continuing our streets and our street projects. But I'm happy to open the floor to anybody else that would like to start the conversation.
Would that be something we'd add to our infrastructure priority that we already have, or you want to call it out separately? Because we had kind of water and sewer, and so you're suggesting add roads. I just want to clear priorities.
What I was thinking was add a third priority of streets, K-14 streets, and road maintenance.
Okay. I just got a little confused. Leave goals the same, add the priority.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry, I should have been more clear.
That's okay.
I want a follow-up question to you, too, because I was actually thinking in regards to council priorities that I want to capture our commitment to educating and discoursing around building and heights and all of that. So the two things that came out in the survey was streets and transportation and development. But instead of adding priorities, I feel like both of those could be highlighted in the streets could be highlighted in the water and sewer infrastructure similarly. And then you could also add something around development in the community engagement and public discourse. So I don't know if we need to keep adding or if we can expand or refine the two that we have, but I would like to find a way to capture the two things that we got back. Mm-hmm. And we're already working on it, so it's not really even adding something, but really identifying it and making it a consensus of priority. We already have the March 31st meeting coming for the development conversation. We already have the streets things moving. So I don't know if we have to or how, not that we have to, I would like to, I'm not exactly certain what that would look like, but I think it's important to capture that we're listening and responding.
I think one option for, in relation to the education component, we could specifically call that out as a work program. It is within a work program now, but we could make it more specific to housing development questions and educating the public with regard to state law.
Okay.
I'm pretty flexible. I just want to make sure we capture, and I think we all kind of have heard. So then how do we capture? Yes, we've heard you. Okay. And we're responding and moving forward.
So directing more specific education in our community engagement priority to be regarding development, streets, et cetera?
Correct. We would put that in next fiscal year's work programs.
Correct.
For that one, though I appreciate the intention, I would, before actually adding that, I'd want our city attorney to review that idea first. So I'm just put that one out there. On the streets one, though, it's already in here. I mean, I think unless the priority changes anything, that we could acknowledge it, but I mean, it doesn't actually change the work that's going to be done on the streets. So though I appreciate what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think it's just kind of redundant, I made my opinions in last year as far as any changes I'd want to see, so there's no changes I have for this. I mean, I guess the only question I have for the rest of the council, which does kind of go, I guess, along with this one, is as far as that community engagement, rebuilding public community trust, and building public discourse, outside that one topic, is there anything else that, does the council feel that the stuff in our work program is done enough? And if so, any other kind of actual practical changes? I mean, the work plan's developed by staff and presented to us, but as far as any changes to it, or is everyone think that everything that's in it's pretty much good enough, other than that one topic that was just brought up?
As far as our community engagement priority?
The work plan items.
The work plan in the community engagement priority, right? Okay, I just want to clarify that. I'm comfortable with it, and including, especially including the direction for more education on development, et cetera. I'm comfortable with that.
It's adding one more bullet point, so yeah. I think that's fine.
Okay. And then I think I was kind of going off the line or the same line of what Councilmember Tuggle was talking about regarding we received in my request of adding the streets as a priority, we received comments that to prioritize the streets. And so that's why that's kind of the idea that I had regarding adding it to our priority list.
But as far as on the, because I mean, this is really just, like I said, we have the goals and priorities part, but it's really the staff that changes the program. Does it actually change anything in the staff program to do the streets? I mean, that's why, I mean, I don't want to give false changes that is if we're doing something different.
Yeah.
We're doing what we probably should be doing already, which I agree with, so.
Yeah, I appreciate the conversation at the council level, and ultimately, we will defer to how you want to spotlight different items as priorities. But to the council member's point, we have a robust work program lined up for street repair work. We have working on a bond issuance coming forward. We have an XK14 project starting in the summertime. We have North 4th Street next fiscal year. So we already have a number of work program items lined up. Even if your council did not elevate streets to the priority level that water and sewer infrastructure and community engagement currently are at. So it's really a matter, I think, as a matter of kind of spotlighting it for the community, but based on prior council direction and the implementation of Measure K14 and street repair, we're already moving forward with a number of different items over the next year. Either way.
Thank you. That brings up a question because when we went through this, I'm kind of remembering that the exercise was as a council and a community, what are we going to focus on? And kind of what I'm hearing is roads are being focused on. So is there anything else that we would be asked to be doing that we would say council could be involved in the decision making as we did with the sewer? Just a
regarding food for streets?
Regarding streets.
Well, I think the last council meeting was an example of the kind of dialogue that we were having with the council regarding the timing and placement of streets, different projects. We're coming forward with our draft CIP in a couple of meetings, March 23rd. So that'd be another opportunity to see the proposed sequencing of projects and the funding for those projects. We'll bring back the bond issuance. So there are a number of items coming before your council over the next couple of months. There aren't, as proposed, a number of different, I think, discussion points regarding future projects, but more of showing the implementation of continued street work for the next couple of years as part of your prior direction to us.
Okay, yeah.
If we were to add streets to our priorities, would it create a serious additional workload for city staff?
No, I don't think it would. As City Manager Bronson said, we are already planning a number of work program items for streets. So it would really just be more calling it out, you know, in language.
Okay.
You like that?
Thank you. I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, I'm okay and stuff, obviously, with that. And, you know, streets, I would beat a dead horse on this issue all the time. So, if we want to do it, then I think it's just basically by just noting that, that it's just being continued and stuff. Like I said, mm-hmm. I don't want it to make people think that we're doing anything different if it's not substantially different. Okay. So that's all I was my concern.
Okay, for sure. Comments to my right? Or anything you wanted to add or change or anything? No? No? Okay. So I would like to hear, so would we like to add, we totally don't have to, it was just a thought of adding a third priority of streets just because we heard so much about it in our survey and then because, you know, we are doing work on it already, just highlighting it and focusing on it. So yes? 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 Okay. All right. Any other comments? No? Okay, this is a receive and file with that direction, though. Yes, thank you. Okay, now we will move on to council committee reports. I will start with Councilmember McCrory Driscoll.
I have nothing to report.
Thank you. Councilmember Tuggle?
I have nothing to report.
Councilmember Wyrick?
Let's see. So for the Community Action Partnership, San Luis Obispo County, aka CAPSLO, their board of directors, we met on Thursday, February 19th. There's routine business, and we did our formal election, seating of returning and new board members, approves new funding applications, and most importantly, whenever agency-wide client satisfaction survey results from 2025, and the things that kind of came out of that were, you know, people who responded to the survey, obviously, and stuff, you know, that they found program services helpful, staff kind and caring. And one thing that I did like was that there's a good amount of them that were informed by other programs, too, by staff that Capsule does do. So obviously they get served more. And one thing I'll just note for, and I'm not sure if he was going to bring it up too, but for the Five Cities Fire Authority, our AKA FCFA, even though our board of directors didn't meet, I did notice that they do have their survey that went live that's available until Friday, March 20th at 5 p.m. And it said that the survey results be used to help develop its strategic plan for advancing fire services over the next 3 to 5 years. And some of the categories are service priorities, planning priorities, expectations, positives, concerns, and other thoughts. And that survey you could find pretty easily on the FCFA homepage at www.5cities, spelled F-I-V-E, citiesfireauthority.org. Then it leads to the Survey Monkey part two. So I would encourage people to complete it and give some good feedback to the authority. So those are my reports.
Thank you. Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Thank you, Mayor. Integrated Waste Management Authority met on February 11th, and Mr. Kobe Skye, our executive director, reported that the IWMA is continuing work on our five-year strategic plan. He will be meeting with key stakeholders, and including waste haulers, local jurisdictions, schools, businesses, nonprofits, to guide the long-term policies and program directions. Our staffing on program coordinate, our program coordinator is currently on leave, and the agency continues working through recent accounting transitions. A month-to-month bookkeeping contract is in place to stabilize financial reporting, reconcile accounts, and complete year-end documentation. Financially, the board received final reports for October through December 25th. Revenues range from approximately $244,000 to $368,000 per month, with expenditures running somewhat higher during these transition periods. The boards continue to monitor financial stabilization closely. Our major highlight is capital investments in household hazardous waste facilities. The Integrated Waste Management Authority is currently spearheading 4 hazardous waste projects at the same time. So it's a lot of work, including new and relocated facilities in San Miguel, Morro Bay, Heritage Ranch, and Cold Canyon Landfill. These projects significantly strengthen hazardous waste infrastructures countywide. The board also approved issuing a RFP, request for a proposal for professional consulting services related to the hazardous waste sites, developments, and remediation, and ratify agreements for facilities design and San Miguel and the Heritage Ranch. Another positive development in the grant funding, marine flare collections. I don't know if anyone knows about marine flares, but they're pretty dangerous. And we have an education campaign going on in partnerships with the California Product Stewardship Council. This improves safety and hazardous waste divisions along our coast. Additionally, the IWMA is pursuing a grant from the Air Pollution Control District that could fund up to 100% of the EV charging infrastructure improvements at our facilities. The board also reviewed approved a budget adjustment for 25-26 and updated authorized banking signatures following the sale of the 870 Oso Street property. Overall, IWMA is actively investing in hazardous waste infrastructure, stabilizing financial systems, and pursuing grant opportunities that reduce cost impacts to membership agencies. That's it.
All right, thank you. As for me, I wouldn't have a report, but along with my SLOCOG, San Luis Obispo Council of Governments assignment, I'm also on the Coast Rail Coordinating Council. And San Luis Obispo, we hosted this. We meet about 4 times a year. So we hosted this time around just this last Friday. And I'm excited to let you all know that we have a third train. So right now we only have 2 trains that come through Grover, that stop in Grover Beach, and we are going to be having a third train as an option for people to take the train to different places. And that's been something we've been working on for like a really long time, and I'm very proud of that. So we have a year of that funding, and we'll see where we're going to find the rest of it to continue services. So we'll figure that out later. But that's it for my committee reports. So I will now move on to council communications, and I'll start with Councilmember McCory Driscoll.
I just have one thing. I'd like to congratulate the police department on their community engagement, making safety fun. In particular, I thoroughly enjoyed your Valentine's social media posts. And that's all I have.
It was very good. If you haven't seen it, that's a great shout out to Michelle in the police department. She does such a great job. Councilmember Tuggle.
Yeah, it's been kind of quiet. I did have the great fortune of being able to go to a fundraiser that supports our local high school students with college scholarships this weekend, and that was really special. But with the rain, I've been mostly home with my dogs.
Love it. Okay, Councilmember Wyrick.
Just one thing. On last Tuesday, February 17th, I did drop by our garbage police department's Coffee with the Cop that was hosted at Red Bee. So it was, after a few days of rain, it was nice to see people around about engaging them, and all good things that I noticed. And yep, that's it.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
Well, it's hard to believe, but it's been another month. This coming Sunday will be pancakes and breakfast at the Grange. Yeah, this starts at 8. It's over at 11. So come get your breakfast. And a big shout out for Lauren Westfall and her team for what they're going to do with the Grover Beach Bunny Blast. So don't miss that. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, March 28th. That's still a ways away, but it's coming up. So I could have waited on that one. Go ahead.
Okay. And as for me, I actually don't have a lot to report. I'm excited to be attending the Chamber's annual gala, the South County Chamber's annual gala this Friday. And I'm sorry that I missed an amazing city game night, which I believe City Manager Bronson will probably talk about. But I heard really great things, and thank you again to our Community Services Department for that. So we will now move on to the City Manager's reports and comments.
Thank you, Mayor. First, building on the comment about the Valentine's Day post, I wanted to give a shout out to our Five Cities Fire Authority, the other side of our public safety team. It was a combined post that really showed the creativity and spontaneity of two different amazing departments that serve our community. And in terms of Five Cities Fire Authority public engagement, they have an open house coming up on Saturday, March 28th, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock at Station 2, just right next door. And actually, it's a joint event as well with our police department. So again, our police and fire teams work together so well across the board to help serve our community. And that post and the open house and just what they do every single day is an example of that. So I want to thank our two chiefs who are here, Chief Hallett, Chief Monroe, and thank you and your teams for an amazing work you do. So building on the mayor's comment about the community game night last Friday, we did have the first game night of 2026. This one was our highest turnout game night yet at 34 attendees over the course of the evening. Two of them were myself and my 12-year-old son, Tyler. So we enjoyed some riveting games of Battleship and Blackjack in that order. Awesome. There were just so many fun games that were being shared across the evening. Jenga and Uno and Exploding Kittens and all sorts of games I've never played before.
Hold on. City Manager's still doing their report.
So just a really fun event. And it is a family event. And this was about community. You look around and you see the community there. You see kids, you see families, you see adults joining together for a free event just to enjoy each other's time and company. So this is really the essence and epitome of community. I want to thank our community services staff, Larry Kim and Rosie Rodriguez for their work in helping put this great event together. Next one's coming up on May 29th. And then shifting over, keeping to the parks theme, parks and recreation theme, you go by Ramona Park and you see a lot of construction progress being done. You see a playground that is coming to fruition that after many, many, many years of deliberation, design, funding is now coming into shape. You see the band shell and amphitheater coming up out of the ground. So there's a lot of progress being seen right now. It's not just a big pile of dirt that it was for a while when they're doing the underground work. Now it's the vision is coming to reality. It's great to see. The rain hampered things a little bit, but now that it's dry, they are jamming on the work that's being done. And our goal is to return to the park for the summer concerts in late June. More information to come. And lastly, speaking of construction, shifting from parks to sewers, we're busy upgrading our sewer system right now. 4th and Manhattan is the main point of focus for the project. It's going to come right across 4th Street and go down Rockaway here very soon, all the way to 9th Street, and then go up 9th Street. So a lot of work to be done, but we're doing this very carefully, very thoughtfully, making sure we have everything in place because of the nature of sewer systems. But this is very essential to making sure we have modern infrastructure to serve our community. And thank you to our Public Works Department for their work in overseeing this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, City Attorney's reports and comments, and why don't you lead us into our closed session, please?
Sure, I have nothing to report, and City Council will meet in closed session under conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to paragraph 4 of subdivision D of section 54956.9 of the government code, deciding whether to initiate litigation, and they will discuss two cases.
All right, thank you. I will now open for public comments on this item. I don't have any speaker slips. If anybody wishes to come up and speak on this item, seeing nobody come forward, is there anybody on the line? Then I will close public comments on this item and we will go into closed session.